Coming to you now is Lehem Panim with your host, Pastor Cameron Urey, Senior Pastor and Bible Teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
Hello and welcome again to Lehem Panim. We're continuing our study today of Acts chapter 8, looking at verses 26 through 40 today, which of course is the story of Philip and how he shared the good news of the gospel with an Ethiopian eunuch who comes to faith in Jesus Christ. Now, you'll remember that a couple of weeks ago, we talked about Simon the sorcerer and the false nature of his faith. He became a part of Christianity for selfish, personal gain, rather than to be used by God for his purposes in reaching the world. However, in our passage today, we're given an example of true, genuine, saving faith, a faith that is demonstrated by three very important elements: the proper preparation, as the eunuch was seeking the truth in the Word of God; two, the proper presentation, as Philip came alongside of the Ethiopian in order to explain the gospel message to him; and third, we have the proper response, which is seen in the Ethiopian being baptized and truly repenting. Now, I don't know how you feel about witnessing. I think we all agree that it has to be done, but often we have qualms about who is supposed to do it, and it can be very uncomfortable. But that's because I think we complicate it way too much, or we place too much of the burden on ourselves rather than on God. We think that if we slip up, then we're going to push people even farther away from God. But you know, that view completely takes God out of the equation. It's humanistic, because in thinking that way, we're assuming that it is us doing the work. But it's not. You and I are just called to play a part in God's work. And that doesn't have to be a complete sharing of the gospel. Sometimes it can be, like it was with Philip in our passage today, simply coming alongside of a person, answering questions, working with them through an issue that they might be facing, and offering them hope and answers where we can. But you know, I think that we get overwhelmed by thinking that witnessing means that we have to give a full presentation of the gospel and be able to afterwards convince them of their sin and to accept Christ. But you know, most of the time, that's a multi-person job. And so don't worry about the big picture or whether or not they come to Jesus, because that's in God's hands. Just focus on the opportunities that God is leading you into. You may be the planter. You may be the waterer, and only occasionally the harvester. And that's okay. Just be content with the part that God has called you to play. That's how it was with Philip. Philip, he had the unexpected joy of causing something big to happen, merely because he was willing to obey an immediate call from God to come alongside a stranger. Now keep in mind, this is not Philip the apostle, but Philip the evangelist, one of seven men chosen to help distribute food to the Greek-speaking Jewish widows who had been overlooked in the daily distribution, most likely because of a language barrier, because the Jews in Palestine spoke mainly Aramaic. And so Philip, he was originally called to serve the Lord by waiting on tables, so that the apostles could devote themselves more fully to prayer and to the ministry of the word. But then something happened that nobody expected. Stephen, who had proclaimed the gospel of Christ to the Sanhedrin, was stoned and killed. And on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. But, like we said before, this scattering, it only served to strengthen and grow the church, rather than weaken it. Now Philip, who was a Hellenist, a Greek-speaking Jew, and therefore one of the primary targets of this great persecution, he goes to Samaria and actually becomes a mighty preacher of the word. And God moved through him in incredible ways. He becomes the first ever Christian missionary to non-Jews, to these half-breed Samaritans, as they were called. And he performs miracles, he casts out demons, he heals paralytics and cripples. And the people of Samaria, they listened to him and rejoiced at what God was doing through him. But then God kind of shifts gears on him by calling him to an unexpected place. It says in verse 26, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" Now, what kind of place is this? Well, Luke tells us this is a desert place. And so from great revival in Samaria to a desert place. But it says, he, Philip, rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Now, the word eunuch can refer to one who has been emasculated, or more generally, to simply a government official. But it's likely that he was both, since Luke refers to him as a eunuch and as one who held a position of authority in the queen's court, that of treasurer, much like a minister of finance or secretary of the treasury. But listen to this, because this is very important. As a physical eunuch, he would have been denied access to the temple in accordance with Deuteronomy 23:1, and also the opportunity to become a full proselyte to Judaism. And maybe just as bad, at least in the mind of a Jew, is the fact that he will have no descendants to carry on his name and his heritage. And in ancient culture, your value as a person was very much dependent on the heritage that you left. Well, here's a guy who probably physically cannot have children because he has, because of his job, been made a eunuch. And yet Isaiah held out the promise that God would grant devout eunuchs a heritage that was better than sons and daughters. Well, what is that heritage? Salvation in Jesus Christ. And so as this eunuch is drawing near that chapter in the book of Isaiah, here comes Philip to share the message of Christ with him so that he can be part of that heritage. How awesome is that? Now, the way that the Holy Spirit timed this encounter is simply amazing, which we'll see more in a minute. But it says in verses 29 through 34, "And the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over and join this chariot.' So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, 'Do you understand what you are reading?' And he said, 'How can I, unless someone guides me?' And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: 'Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth.' And the eunuch said to Philip, 'About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?'" And we know that this passage from Isaiah is actually a prophecy of Jesus, who is silent before Pilate and those who are persecuting him. And so here, Philip has been given a golden opportunity to share Jesus Christ with him. And of course he does. It says, "Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water." Now just think, Philip and the eunuch arrive at a very rare watering place in the desert precisely when the eunuch requested baptism. Once again, the Holy Spirit is leading in a very clear, amazing way. And the eunuch said, "So here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, much like Elijah was in 2 Kings 2:11. And the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Now, Philip probably didn't know this, but church tradition tells us that this Ethiopian eunuch also became a preacher of the gospel, and that in fact, that place where Philip baptized him, in Gaza, it marks the start of the Ethiopian church, of which one branch today, the Ethiopian Orthodox Tewahedo Church, has a membership of 36 million. You see, God can use our obedience to witness to bring great change in people's lives. Norman Cates, he shared the humorous story of a guy who prayed this prayer every morning. "Lord, if you want me to witness to someone today, please give me a sign to show me who it is." And so one day he found himself on a bus when a big, burly man sat next to him. The bus was nearly empty, but this guy sat next to our praying friend. And the timid Christian anxiously waited for his stop, but before he could get very nervous about the man sitting next to him, the big guy burst into tears and began to weep. He then cried out with a loud voice, "I need to be saved. I'm a lost sinner. I need the Lord. Won't somebody tell me how to be saved?" And he turned to the Christian and pleaded, "Can you show me how to be saved?" And the believer immediately bowed his head and prayed, "Lord, is this a sign?" You know, it's amazing. Are we also looking for a sign to start witnessing? The fact is, there are people all around us who are, like this Ethiopian, waiting for us to connect the dots for them, to make the scripture connect with them so that they might find Jesus Christ. God is simply waiting on us to be willing to be his hands, his feet, and his voice in those moments that he opens for us to share. And the question is, are we going to be faithful? If we are, God can also use us in amazing ways. And so let's commit to God today to come alongside people and to help them to encounter Jesus Christ. Let's do so. Amen.
Today's episode of Lehem Panim has been made possible by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's Word, and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel, or would like to request any of our messages here on Lehem Panim, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org or lehempanim.org. You can also find us on both Facebook and Twitter. We look forward to hearing from you, and thank you for listening. And may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.